all of our musicians and singers a big round of applause tonight. And appreciate just those who practiced and got this evening ready for us. And I appreciate again you coming along to our carols evening. And I think, Lord willing, next year we'll be having our carols by the creek again. And looking at just every 2 years having a carols night, just a simple night like this. You know, sometimes we can sort of look at Christmas and it can become a little bit convoluted. When really the meaning of it is really quite plain in Scripture. And, you know, we love the decorations. I think it's a matter of celebration for us as believers. We get to share the good news of the Savior coming to the world. That's the really the message of Christmas. And tonight I want to read to you a portion of Scripture. If you don't mind just following along, I think the Scriptures will be on the screen if you don't have your Bibles with you. And I'm going to turn to Luke chapter 2, and read verses 8 to 14. And, you know, in many places, especially here in Australia, you're going to see a bit of a nativity scene. And we're going to, you look up here and there's this nativity that we see. And sometimes the way it's portrayed can maybe take away a little bit of the meaning of just that night. And we somewhat have a representation of the characters involved in the Christmas story. But what we see in Scripture was so often, it was those that were a little bit in obscurity that God spoke to, that God went and gave the news to. And this is a part of that story on that fateful night. In verse 8, Luke chapter 2, verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And it's amazing news that they were about to share through the shepherds. He was saying it's great, it's good tidings of great joy. It's great news to all people. And so if you're here tonight, we're reading here this particular story that happened 2,000 years ago. And what we find, it's news for you yet tonight. He's saying it's for all people. And here was the news. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, that's Bethlehem, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And we'll keep reading. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they had made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Tonight I want to just elaborate a little bit on the Scriptures this evening. You know, we can read this story and we can lose the significance of the fact that God Himself, He sends the news to these ones who were just caught on a dark night. They were just out there, these shepherds. If you understand the culture of the day, shepherds weren't really well regarded. They were those that, generally speaking, were quite low in society. They were those who generally people knew they were shepherds just from the stench that they had. Why? Because they were with the sheep all the time. And what we find is these shepherds, they were just doing what they were supposed to do. They were just out there just being with sheep. And out of nowhere, out in the outskirts of Bethlehem, where everywhere else, we didn't read earlier, but you might know the story, There was a gathering of people there, all family gathering, coming for the reason of taxation. You know, what a reason to come together as a family, right? But there was this big, right? There's this certain things in life, death and taxes, and taxes brought people together suddenly. And they were there to be counted, to be numbered amongst their family in the city of Bethlehem. They were of the lineage of David. And so all this family had come together, and here they were, the shepherds on the outskirts of that. They weren't even in the main draw of that night. They weren't even amongst those that were coming together for purpose right there in Bethlehem. They were just there on the outskirts, just really, in many ways, minding their own business. In many ways, just in caught in the obscurity of darkness, they were watching the sheep at night. And they come at night, these shepherds, generally to ensure that no predators, weren't giving these sheep as prey. And so they come along to protect these creatures. And they came along with really just the thought that this was going to be another night. This was just going to be another time. But then suddenly, out of nowhere, light pierces the darkness. And here what we read earlier was a multitude of the heavenly host suddenly lights up the night sky. Suddenly this angelic host comes proclaiming this: glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. But then, notice, just as suddenly, silence fell again. Just as suddenly, the darkness came back. And just as suddenly, the shepherds, who were in the midst of just a normal night, find themselves back in the darkness again. Back in the night, but now with some news. Now with something to now pursue, even in the darkness. And they faced the choice. They faced the choice to remain where they were at. And yet what the Bible tells us is they heard the news, and they came with haste of the news. They came recognizing that where they were at was in some ways just what they would normally do. But here they were. They were going to go out and find out about this news. This one that was going to be found in a manger. This one that was going to be in swaddling clothes. And it's interesting that as the scriptures tell us that, it was very typical in that day that not only were newborns put in swaddling clothes, it was generally those lambs that were without blemish. You know, again, traditionally, as the Jewish people were still observing the law given by Moses, only a lamb without spot and blemish was to be presented to the Lord. That was the only acceptable sacrifice to God. And here they were being told, go find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. You know what else was wrapped in swaddling clothes? It was those lambs that were without spot or blemish. And so they knew what they were looking at. It was really to signify to them, no, this isn't just a baby. This is like that lamb that's without spot and blemish. And they were going to see that this little one wasn't just going to be your average baby. No, it was going to be one that was given as the perfect Lamb of God. And so they go and they find that they make their choice. And here's what I want to tell you tonight. You see, at the end of the day, faith starts where sight ends. They had to have faith. They had to trust that through their sojourn in the darkness, they were going to find clarity. And here's where courage is really told in the Christmas story. See, there's the courage to step into darkness is the courage to walk toward God when clarity is absent. You know, maybe there's some of you tonight, and you know, I know it's getting dark out there, it's evening, and you're sitting there. It's not typical of our church that we sit in darkness. We like to turn on the lights because we want to turn to the scriptures. But tonight is a special night. It's a carols night. And maybe just like that, there's some things in your life that you're trying to walk towards. And maybe there's some things that God's even put in your life that you're trying to walk towards. He's given you some news. He's given you something to aim at. And now the light that so easily shone to give you some instruction, it's not quite there. Maybe now it's time to take some steps of faith and trust, and now it's time to just journey ahead knowing that there's a promise ahead. And I want to encourage you tonight that really when it comes to courage, you need the courage to step into the darkness even when clarity is absent. It requires for you some courage and some bravery to take steps into the unknowns of God's will. And I hope that this final couple of days of 2025, as you lead in 2026, that indeed you are seeking God. Maybe you're here tonight and you came for the carols. You came maybe with a little curiosity as far as what this night looks like. But I want to tell you that tonight, it might just be a little message. It might just be a little light to now a journey ahead. And I want to encourage you that you need to take steps in perhaps the unknowns of God's will, and especially when the darkness doesn't necessarily fade. And I want to give you a couple of things, four things tonight as we consider the scriptures. Firstly, there's the courage to show duty in darkness. You know, these shepherds, they came, and again, while others were there for different reasons, they came just simply, the Bible says this, they were in the same country. Just so happened they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field. You know why they were abiding? Because that's where they should have been found. That's where they should have been found. That's where they should have been. And now they find themselves with the news, and now they're going to go even to Bethlehem. And this place, it was just really doing what was required. That's what duty is, isn't it? Sometimes there's things that you just do out of duty. You just turn up. You know, some of you, I was talking to some of you at the beginning, you know, as you were coming in, and I was asking, hey, are you on break? And some of you, you sort of did the thing of, yeah, I still got to go to work tomorrow, right? Like, hint, pastor, just preach short tonight, right? And you know, some of you, you're like, oh, and you're not turning up out of delight tomorrow. Why? Because it's Christmas week. You're turning up out of duty. And sometimes there's things that you just do out of duty. There's some things that you do because that's what's required of you. You know, this work that the shepherds were given, it was unglamorous work. It was just work that had to be done. It wasn't, probably many of them, wasn't really their choice. It was just the job that they can get. And they were there. And yet, what we find in the scriptures, they were the first, really, to receive heaven's announcement. It wasn't announced in the palace. It wasn't announced anywhere else. No, it was announced in a field. Just out there in darkness, in obscurity, and really the least likely to be chosen. You see, shepherds, they were just ordinary, unseen, unglamorous, and yet God so often visits those who are just faithful in the dark. He'll just be there at times, out of character, out of duty. You know, it's not the dark that we don't know sometimes. It's in the dark that we do know. We just turn up even when we're not feeling quite how we ought to. We just turn up because we just know it's right to do. And we just know that even though it's not really here, we just know it's right and therefore we're going to do it. And here what we find is they were faithful, firstly. They were faithful in obscurity. You know, many times when we want to get something from God, we think that, you know, if only God notices us, if only we're this, and if only I was like that person who sings so well, if only I was up front like everyone else. And you know, I want to tell you that so often it's not those, it's God. God turns up so often to those who are just faithful in the dark, faithful in their place. You know, there's some mums here tonight who, you know, really, Christmas doesn't happen without you. You wrap the presents. In fact, you bought your own present. Am I right, ladies? Some of you ladies, right? And you did all of that. And you know, Christmas morning will come and all the kids, they'll just excitedly rip up those beautiful gifts that you so put so much effort into. And you just rip it up and it just goes in the bin. And you know what? Sadly, sometimes there's no thanks, right? There should be, by the way. That's a hint to the kids to remember to say thanks. But you know, there's ladies here tonight. who are just faithful in their obscurity of that. You know, they may not feel like anyone notices. They may not feel like there's any blessing in that. They may not feel that there's those things that, and yet, you know, who does notice when you put the effort, when you do love without, unconditionally without return, God sees that. And we see the shepherds, they were just obscure. They were there, and yet they were the ones that found the announcement. They were the ones that were in obscurity. And whilst most of Bethlehem was there for the taxing, we didn't read it, but verses 3 to 6, really that's why they came. While the world slept, they watched. Okay, while others celebrated in town, they worked in the fields. And I want to say that God finds faithfulness even in the shadows. You know, sometimes we wonder if anything we do is of any significance, but there's one who notices and there's one who notes. And God appeared to those shepherds. Why? Because simply they were in their place, duty. The courage to show duty in the darkness. And yet what we find, secondly, is they were startled by the glory. Suddenly this light comes. You know what I find that's interesting about that? Is sometimes we do things duty-wise and we expect just some sort of reward. You know, these shepherds, they had no expectation. That's why they were startled. You know, they didn't turn up that day, that evening, and, you know, perhaps they had known each other for a while and they had asked about each other's day. Hey, did you get any sleep today? No, my kids were annoying me, you know. And hey, what did you do today? Yeah, I watched the cricket. The Aussies won. It was great, you know. Got the Ashes back, all of that. And they may be just talking about their day. But, you know, they were there, and there was no expectation. They expected to just do what they were supposed to do. They just expected of themselves the thing that they were duty-bound. And I want to tell you that as Christians, I want to speak to you Christians tonight. So many times, whilst there's a reward that's promised us, we ought to just do things out of just sheer duty for the Lord. You know, our motivation should go beyond that. It should be delight. But there's days, I want to tell you, and I'm just speaking from experience, where it's just character to just turn up. It's just character to get to the Word of God. It's just character to pray. It's just duty to be in church. And you might, here's what happens. God might startle you with some glory. And God might just turn up and here's what happened in verse 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. You know what that speaks of? Just that lack of expectation. It was just them. They were unexpected. They were feeling this undeserving. You know, sometimes we live in a society today where there's just a bit of an entitlement mentality. You know, if we do this, then therefore God must do this for us. And I think sometimes that's the way we think about the Christian life, is we think there's just this transactional relationship with God. Like, if we do this, God, then therefore you must do that. And listen, so many times the mindset actually that God so much blesses is just knowing that we're going to be there and knowing out of just a love for Him, regardless of reward or not, we're just going to do it. They just had this mindset of being undeserving. You know, they were surprised that God would even come to them. And when the angels appeared, that fear gripped them. And sometimes light shocks us more than darkness. You know, the revealing of God can sometimes be unsettling before it becomes comforting. And what I mean by that is sometimes the immensity of what God would have us to do is so great that it causes us to fear. I remember as a young man, it was about half an hour away from here. We were at a summer conference, and you know, I didn't know what summer meant until I visited Queensland in summer, right? And we would come here in summer, and you know, we were teenagers, and so they put us in the hottest non-air-conditioned room because that's where the teenagers belong. And it was just the preaching would go and, you know, we're like begging in our spirit, Lord, please wind this down, right? It could be Nicole at the back with the two of the signals saying, land it, all right? But we were sitting there and it was just a typical service. And I was honestly, I was there because the rest of the group was there. But that particular evening, the preaching spoke to me. And that night, I surrendered my life to Christ. That night, I surrendered to serve Him. That night, I said, Lord, whatever. And you know what? I thought I'd be filled with this excitement. You know what it filled me with? Fear. Lord, what does this mean? Do you mean you want me to preach? 16 years old. And I'll tell you what, you ask my parents, you may not believe me, but I was like scared of my own shadow. Right? I used to hide behind my mum before I got a lot taller than her. She's about here, but I used to hide behind my mum. And you know, everywhere we went, you would not hear from me. I was afraid to talk to people. And I found it that interesting that God would call me to preach, this shy boy. And I get to do this now. But I'm saying that sometimes God gives us a calling and God gives us a truth that moves us. And now here's the choice. We've got to follow it. It's fearful. And yet again, so many times in the Christmas story, those two words, fear not, fear not. Maybe there's some here this evening that you're heading into a time where perhaps God is wanting you and giving you some truth to change your life and some things that you need to address. And it's fearful, it's new, it's different, it's uncomfortable. It's a walk in the dark. And yet I want to tell you that when we walk with God, He so often illuminates our way. You know, when you get on the plane, when they do that safety demonstration, what do they do? They tell you about, you know, your nearest exit, make sure you look at it. And then they tell you this, note that, but then there's going to be some strip lighting that you're going to follow along the way. And you know, when it comes to following God, at first you're going to start to walk the direction He tells you, and sometimes it's a little fearful, it's a little unknown. But you know, as you take a step and you take another step, God shows you and illuminates your path. And so often through the scriptures, so often through just confirmations in the circumstances, because really they need to respond with courage. They were called to courage. See, the first command of Christmas was courage, not comfort. Take courage, fear not. It was a confrontation to live by truth. And we find that they were called to courage because they stepped into the unknown. You know, so much of what God asks us to do at times is into the unknown. It's to take a step that beyond the step we've already taken. And then to step into the unknown, they say in verses 15 to 16, let us now go even unto Bethlehem. They had a response. They stepped into the unknown. They followed a word, not a map. You know, when it comes to the Christian life, the word is the map. They followed a word, not a map. That's faith. Walking through the dark, trusting that God will illuminate and light our way. And so much of what God asks us to do, it requires trust. It requires faith. Going into the unseen. And yet, the great comfort, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And we see that firstly, these shepherds, they had to show courage to show duty in darkness. But they had to have courage to believe and find. Because at the end of it, there was a choice. They had to choose to believe what God said. They had to choose to believe that they were going to find what God had said they will see. See, they arrived in verses 16 to 18 and found is what the Bible says. And when they had seen it, it changed them. They arrived and found it just as the angel had said, Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. You know, nothing about the scene looked particularly heavenly. You know, we look at these and we look how polished the shepherds are and polished the characters look. But you know, back in that time, in the original Christmas, even the manger wasn't made really out of wood. It was probably carved out of stone. It probably had some straw to soften it. But it was carved probably, it was probably in a cave. It wasn't in a stable like we would imagine. And we find that that's normally the case in the geography of that area, is they used caves as a means of stables. And so it wasn't particularly heavenly what they found. It was just poverty. It was straw. And yet, what we've got to understand when we trust, when we follow God, when we trust Him in the dark, is that faith must often believe in God, even in unimpressive places. You know, sometimes we think about God and we think He's got to impress us. But so often what God does is He causes us to choose Him even in humility, even when things are humble. And the shepherd's courage was not only to go, but to believe that God could be in something small and insignificant. You know, again, we have these, sometimes have this idea that those things that we do for God must lead to great things. But so often they just lead to significant things. And it could be that you're just called to raise a child. And I was saying just. That's a high calling. It could be that you're just part of the church and you're a greeter. And yet you do that faithfully. And it's not glamorous. And you know that that's what you signed up for. You know that that's really that's a stepping stone that God would have you to have, and that's the next step, and you're taking that step, and maybe you're like, what? It's not that. Yeah, God works in that too. I told the story a couple of months ago now, and I told the story about a man who will never know his name. He made all the difference. He was a greeter on one faithful evening, and the two 14-year-olds were trying to get into a tent meeting, a big evangelistic meeting, and somehow, some way, this usher was able to find two seats for these two 14-year-olds that, you know, looked a little bit bratty, just like most 14-year-olds do. And they just looked like they were just, no offense, guys at the front, no offense. Good job, by the way, with your candle waving. Well done. You sort of kept in time. It was good. But those two 14-year-olds, they found a seat and ended up, they get saved. And one of them ends up being Billy Graham. Who, you know, in his heyday, really was used of God to preach the gospel mightily in continents. There's people I meet in my previous place in Sydney. So often I would knock on doors and would find so many people, they gone and saved at a Billy Graham crusade. Still to this day, the biggest crowd to ever sit in a stadium, 110,000 people, was in a Billy Graham crusade at the MCG. Now imagine if that usher, that greeter, didn't find significance in what he was doing for God. And I'm saying faith must often believe in God, even in unimpressive places. And faith proven brings further courage and a change of outlook. You know what happened? It was still dark. They found this baby Jesus, who, by the way, is the savior of the world. But you know, they go back, and now they go back rejoicing. They go back, and now it's not fear. They go back, and you know what? What God so often wants to do when He confronts you in your darkness is not necessarily change your darkness, but it's to change you. And these people, these shepherds, the darkness hadn't changed, but they had. You know what I find so often times is those who are seeking God, they'll find God, the Bible tells us that if you seek Him, you'll find Him. And maybe there's some who are seeking Him tonight. And you know, there are those who seek God and they find Him. They find Him in the pages of Scripture. They find Him through a common friend who's a Christian, and they're able to share with them the good news of the gospel of Christ, and they get to know Christ as Savior. And you know what inevitably happens? They'll come back and they're they seem like they feel like a weight is off their shoulder. But you know, eventually they come back and they go, Pastor, I still have the same problems. Yeah. There's still burdens. Yeah, you're still walking back to the same doubt. But here's the good news, you're different now. Now the Bible says if you're saved, you're a new creature in Christ. Now the Bible tells us that because you're saved, now the Holy Spirit of God indwells you and illuminates you and shows you and is a comforter and teaches you the truth of the Scriptures. Now you have the Scriptures and it makes sense. It's now a lamp to your feet, a light unto your path. It's now the sword of the Spirit. And now you have the presence of God in your life. You're changed, you're different. And guess what? Also, your destiny is now final. It's final in heaven. And if you know, so many times those who, they're just faith. Faith proves through courage that there's a change of life, change of outlook. And yet what we find is Mary here is this, it's a bit of a contrast. We see Mary in verse 19, but Mary pondered them in her heart. The shepherds came and they proclaimed, Mary sat and pondered. And this is a courage of quiet faith. Maybe there's some of you here, they're just sitting and you're just observing. Things are happening in your heart, but you're holding it in. And yet, here's a contrast. Whilst the shepherd's courage was active, hers was contemplative. And both are necessary. There's some that are contemplating some things in their heart today. There's some who are just thinking about life and what it all means. And they're thinking about all that they're hearing, even tonight. I want to tell you, there's a place for that. And Mary entered a different kind of darkness, the mystery of God. What was happening in her life? What was God doing? And at this point, she didn't yet fully understand how this child perhaps would save the world. She will when she sees him on the cross. She will when she understands all of what he does by shedding his blood, by paying the penalty, by being willing to lay down his life on an old wooden cross. And yet, in this moment, she trusted that those things that she couldn't explain. Yeah, maybe there's some that are here that you're just, you know, it's not so much an active happening in your life. There's just something happening in here. You're contemplating things. And I want to tell you, you need to allow God to clarify. So that takes courage too. And her courage, it wasn't loud, but I want to say it was lasting. It was lasting. She chose to hold what heaven had revealed. And even when it didn't all make sense in the moment, we see that later on she is present. She is there. She does believe. And really at the end, God allows us the courage for our own darkness. There's some who are walking into a 2026 with a little bit of mystery. With a little bit of how's this year going to work out? And what the Christmas story actually reminds us of is that God can give you courage for your darkness. That God can give you the courage to just continue to walk toward the things that He has for you. The Christmas story isn't sentimental comfort. Really, it's a divine intrusion into the world's night. You see, Christ didn't come into a world of candles. We're here in a world of candles tonight. He walked into a world of confusion. And like the shepherds, you may be standing in a dark field. You might even feel tired. You might even feel unseen. You might even feel afraid. Or like Mary, you might be contemplating things and mysteries you can't make sense of. But here's what Christmas tells us. As we close off tonight, what Christmas tells us is God works in the dark. You see, in Psalm 18, verse 28, the Bible tells us, "For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." And maybe there's some here tonight that just needs God to give some light in your darkness. In Psalm 139, verse 12, "Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. What an interesting verse. You know, God's saying here, you know, when it comes to God, it's all light. There's no mystery with God. It might be a mystery to you. There might be some things you're contemplating. There might be some things you're just afraid of to walk that way. And yet, it's all alike to God. You can come to Him. And what we find is Christmas tells us God works in the dark. You know, He was born at night. You know, He was betrayed at night. You know, He was buried at night. But praise God, He rose in the morning. And that's the great news. See, Psalm 30 verse 5, the Bible tells us, "For His anger endureth but a moment. In His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." And I want to tell you the great news of Christmas is that the light came to your darkness. And maybe tonight, the whole point of this evening is that you might know the light, that you might know the light, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage you, you're a Christian, be faithful in the dark. Okay, the shepherds kept watch before they saw glory. Don't abandon your post just because the night feels long. Move when God speaks. Don't wait for full understanding before you obey. The shepherds didn't, and you know what they found? They found Christ. Ponder when God is silent. Like Mary, hold His words in your heart until light comes again. And then what's going to happen? You're going to return changed. Because sometimes it's not about God removing the dark. It's about God changing you for your dark. And so I want to encourage you tonight. You see, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 9 verse 2, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." And so maybe you're walking through your darkness tonight. And maybe there's some things that are a bit of a mystery. Maybe there's some unknowns. I want to tell you that we have the light. We have the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would love to show you tonight, if you have the time, I'd love to show you from the Word of God how you can know Him to be your Savior. Because ultimately, the reason for the season is Jesus has come to be the Savior of the world. Let's pray. Father, thank You, Lord, for this evening. Thank You, Lord, for the wonderful music that was sung, Lord, in praise to You. Thank You, dear God, that as we celebrate this Christmas season, that really all of it points to Your coming to this world to be the light. Lord, it all points to the fact that, Lord, we can take courage even in the darkness that surrounds us because we have You, Lord Jesus, as our light. And I pray that You'd help each one here, Lord, whatever they're going through, to understand their need of You. Father, for those of us who are Christians, that we would, Lord, just follow after You and pursue You and trust You, dear God, even in the times of unknown. But then, Lord, Father, for those who, Lord, still are searching and still need to believe, I pray that You'd help each one to know that they have the great comfort of the light, the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. And I pray that You'd please bless each one in this Christmas season. And Father, as we sing this final song, I pray that You'd be glorified in all of it. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's all stand. We're going to sing our